Sports fans, find your beach for the game with an ice cold Corona. Don't have any in the fridge? No problem. Stock up for game day and order on Drizzly and save $5 with code Corona courtesy of Drizzly. Relax responsibly. Must be 21 plus. Void where prohibited. Drizzly terms and conditions apply.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you here on a Tuesday, January 19th.
BBT,
meaning Big Boy Tuesday. It's still the football season. Felger and Maz coming to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Big Jim Murray alongside as well. And the BBT is the big boy himself, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal, joining us from his couch. What's up, Greg?
What's up, fellas?
How you
I'm already
doing?
Annoyed.
I know you're already annoyed. I was just going to ask you, have you gotten over your, are you still pissed off or something? What's your problem?
I'm just annoyed. It's just, you know, listening to you guys yesterday just made me angrier and angrier.
Good.
So I'm glad I'm here today.
Show work then.
Okay. That's it. Show your work.
You can check out BostonSportsJournal.com for the column that I just posted also if anybody wanted to read along.
Really? Okay. Yep. So it's just a Felger and Maz show recap. That's fine. What's your problem?
My problem is that you guys are trying to declare a winner and a loser where it's not that simple. It's just not.
Sure.
I don't care. You guys can offer up any evidence that you want, and I have a counter to it.
Okay, so what do you mean? Just state your case. If you listen to the show and you just wrote a column, state your thesis.
Sounds like we're going to get served.
Go ahead.
So my thesis is, number one, I think everyone would agree that in terms of Brady and Belichick over the years, I've been pretty much down the middle. I've called out both sides on their BS, from Belichick not giving Brady the weapons at the end his last couple years, to Brady not showing up at OTAs and his complaining about the offense and things like that. So I'm pretty much down the middle. Unlike some writers, I don't have an allegiance to Tom Brady or one side or the other. The main thing that really stuck in my craw yesterday is, and I've heard this from a lot of people, and I heard it this weekend, that only when it comes to the Buccaneers and Bruce Arians, only Tom Brady could have done what he did this year. And that proves that he's just a winner. He's just a great winner. And I just think that's completely false.
Why? Well, so I'm not sure who said he's the only one. I mean, I never said he's the only one, but he's one of the few. He's one of the few that could have taken that team on the road, bang bang, on the cusp of a Super Bowl. He's one of a few.
You guys yesterday made it out like the Buccaneers are some bumbling franchise like
they are.
The Bengals. That's not true.
They're worse than the Bengals.
No. You want to look over the course of their franchise? Okay, the Creamsicles, Ray Perkins, John McKay. Okay, fine. But you know, there was a 10-year span from 97 to 2007 where this team was a force under Tony Dungy and John Gruden. Yeah, they had a skid with the end of Raheem Morris, the Schiano stuff, whoever else was in there. Sure, yeah. But this team was 7-9 last year with terrible quarterback play, with a lot of turnovers. This is not some completely inept franchise. It just isn't. That is patently false.
Greg, they have the lowest.
Number one,
they have the lowest winning percentage in the history of pro sports, or in all of pro sports.
What are you talking about? 1976 for? Like, what is the point?
I don't know.
It's 40 years later.
But to call them a loser franchise is actually factually accurate.
Oh, you mean when they won a Super Bowl? Did they not win a Super Bowl?
Why are we going back 20
years ago?
Yeah, exactly.
So you can go back to 1976 and the winless Bucks and I can't point out
they've
won a Super Bowl. It's not the Bengals.
Lowest
the Bengals.
Winning percentage in pro sports.
So which is it? Are we going back 40 years or are we not?
Go ahead. Yes, go back 40 years. Losingest franchise in pro sports.
Did they not win a Super Bowl?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
You're right.
They're not completely inept.
No, you're right. The Bengals are worse. I take that back.
Okay. So let's move on to Bruce Arians. Okay. So yeah, I certainly have my criticisms of Bruce Arians, and when he's feeling it like he is right now, he comes off like a horse's ass. But let's also not forget that 5 years ago, he was in the exact same game with Carson Palmer. So are you telling me that, and first of all, the Cardinals are a worse franchise than the Bucs. I mean, in terms of cheapness, and probably you go back, you look at their record, it's pretty bad. Especially during, you know, my lifetime, the Cardinals have been basically terrible. So Bruce Arians goes to an NFC championship game with Carson Palmer. Does that mean that Carson Palmer's a great winner?
So what are you driving at with this?
What do you mean, what am I driving at?
I mean, what's your point? I mean, what's your point? I mean, so you're saying
my point is like you can't extrapolate all these, like, you know, you think you can extrapolate these facts from what's going on this season between the Bucs and the Patriots.
Well, no,
and I just think it's patently false.
Well, but hold on. But tell me what's false. I mean, what are you driving at? If you're saying the Bucs are better than we give them credit for and Arians is better than we give them credit for, then that means A plus B equals what? What's C?
That means that any grand sweeping proclamations off of this season just are really just nonsense.
You want to peel some credit away from Brady's impact. I mean, let's just call for what you're trying to drive at, Greg. Let's get to the point, please.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Tom Brady did not go down there and save the Buccaneers this season.
Okay, Tom Brady went down there and saved the Buccaneers this season.
See, I think strongly disagree.
Okay, wait, excuse me. So last year, the Buccaneers were third in points. And third in offensive points, third in offensive yards. This year, they were third in points and seventh in offensive yards.
Those stats don't
matter
to me. I don't
exactly. What exactly did he raise up? Are you telling me that the Buccaneers had no chance to be where they are right now with another quarterback?
Well, I mean, when you say another quarterback with Mahomes or Rodgers, they
no, could, no. I'm talking about somebody that could have been available. Look,
they couldn't
Carson,
have done it with Jameis
say
Winston.
Carson, say Car- that is fine. Jameis Winston is a turnover waiting to happen. Let's say Carson Palmer of 5 years ago.
No.
Do you think Carson Palmer and Bruce?
No.
Come on.
No.
Please.
I don't.
Give me it.
I don't.
That means that you're take bunkered.
I'm not take bunkered. I was on Belichick's side. I was on the other side of Brady, if you want to, you know, square it away. I'm not take bunkered at all. I'm just someone who actually pays attention to the scoreboard that just keeps feeling a thing that keeps coming back up. That
so how did Bruce Arians, and how loses. Did Bruce Arians get to the Super Bowl? How did they get to the NFC Championship game 5 years ago?
Yeah, they had a pretty good team.
And the Bucs?
No, listen. Arians at times, Greg, is a good offensive coach. I don't take any of that away from you. But here's where I would disagree with you. Do you believe in any of the Brady intangibles?
Oh, sure. I mean, do I think Brady's a winner and helps? Yes. Do I believe the nonsense that Bruce Arians was saying after the game about, like, oh, well, the only way that the Buccaneers off defense makes those plays the other night is because of Tom Brady? I think that's ridiculous.
Do you think there's some rub off?
Maybe a little, but mostly on the offensive side.
Okay, because, well, fine. I mean, of course, it's like the only reason. I mean, that is silly. So, I mean, we're just sort of parsing words.
I mean, that's the way he made it out to Peter King.
Okay, so look, I mean, I don't think that's the only reason the defense is making plays, but it's part of the reason. It has the look and feel of a different outfit. If Tom Brady's not there, I am sorry. They are not going on the road and winning two playoff games and on the cusp of the Super Bowl. They're just not. And if Mahomes...
Wait. They're not beating a 7-9 Washington team with their four-string quarterback, and they're not winning a game where Drew Brees can't throw over 15 yards, and the offense has their three touchdown drives are 3, 20, and 40 yards.
Nope.
They're not.
They're not winning back-to-back road playoff games, no.
Okay.
They're not.
Okay.
They're just not. They're not mentally tough enough. They don't believe enough. They're not invested enough. Period. They're just not.
How do you explain the 2015 Cardinals then?
How do I explain the 2015 Cardinals? I don't know.
Same coach. Same coach. Similar quarterback, you know.
But Greg, why are they like? And I'm not busting your balls, but what? Why are they the comp? Just
because
Arians was a coach?
Yeah, because you guys are going on the air yesterday saying, like, and especially you, Maz, are going on and on about Bruce Arians and how terrible he is, and like he couldn't have done this. Like he just did it 5 years ago with a different franchise, a worse franchise, and a worse quarterback.
Yeah. So look, Arians himself said to Peter King that a lot of times he just sits there and lets Brady coach. Those are his words, not mine. And I think you're underselling the Washington game. Frankly, I think if they had a lesser quarterback than Brady, they might have blown that game. I don't think they played well. The quarterback was out of this world good in that game. And it was Washington. So that's a, you know, it's a lamb being led to slaughter for Brady. That's a layup. But for a lot of other quarterbacks, your teams get in trouble, they might crap their pants in that game. At the end of the day, and I understand what you're saying as it pertains to Bill versus Brady, that ultimately it takes them both. But in the here and now of 2020, and that's still the season we're in, even if we turn the page, still that season, who's winning?
I can't tell you. It's two different circumstances.
Well, this is exactly what I said.
This is exactly what I said the day that Tom Brady left. I said, people are going to say, oh, what's Tom doing? What's Bill doing? And we're really not going to know, because you're talking about two teams with that are in completely different circumstances. If Tom Brady was such the winner that you guys wanted, that were making him out yesterday, that he basically walks on water and raises the dead, then what was the problem last year at the end with the Patriots? Why were they two and four at the end? Okay. Why were they 4-5 down the stretch?
He was
and why
up.
Did that continue into this season? Is it because the Patriots just aren't that good?
He was banged up and he was mentally checked out.
So I believe in that second thing. I think it's the second thing. I don't think he gave the Patriots his all. I don't. And I mean, boy, you want to go back to that Cardinals team, man. They were 13-3. They were a wagon. They had to go to overtime to beat Green Bay in their first playoff game and then got schwacked in the second, in that conference. They lost 49-15 at Carolina that year. That's the year you're talking about, right, Greg?
It was a Cam Newton year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so
And what? I mean, he's Bruce Arians is in the championship game for the second time in 5 years. Once he had Carson Palmer, now he has Tom Brady. Like, I don't think anybody was screaming the praises of Carson Palmer a few years ago. That's my point.
Well, but what do you think's the difference with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The coaching?
The difference, they just don't turn the ball over.
Well, that's a quarterback, isn't it?
Why is that?
So you're saying that Tom Brady's the only quarterback that was available that...
Well, now you just moved the goalpost.
That doesn't turn the ball over.
I'm just saying he was the difference. Bruce Arians, wherever he's been, sack, turnover, sack, turnover, sack, turnover. Wherever he's been, even that year, I'm sure if we looked at it, there were probably sacks and turnovers. He got sacked once this last game, Brady did, and he turned the ball over. So
yeah, and you know why? This is probably a discussion for after the break. But what's funny is that the offense that the Patriots morphed into at the end of 2018 and in 2019 that Brady basically checked out on at times is exactly the offense that the Bucs are using now, that they have been using down the stretch. Running game, under center, get the ball out quickly. This is what the Patriots did to win a Super Bowl, and Tom has gone back to it. The one that he fought against is now the one that he has adopted to get the Bucs to where they are.
Well, so this is another thing that apparently is bugging you. The Bruce Arians comment to Peter King about Tom Brady, consummate leader, has been all year. Got the air of confidence that permeates through our team every day. I allow him to be himself. Like New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back sometimes and watch. You have a problem with that comment?
No, I just think the more Bruce Arians talks, the dumber he sounds. But in terms of Brady coaching not being allowed to coach, I mean, you know, Bruce can say whatever he wants to say. Sure, you know, in New England, in most coaches, in most franchises, the players play, the coaches coach. And what Tom is doing now with his influence is exactly what the Patriots did that he fought against.
Greg, look, honestly, at the end of the day, I understand you're not into absolutes. Okay, you're not. We do talk radio. And so the whole idea is that snapshot evaluations, and I understand those are imperfect. I'm not telling you they're not. And I can absorb and take just about anything that you said in the last 15 minutes. But the idea of who is winning right now is unknown, is flat out wrong. It's just, and again, it doesn't mean it's staying this way, but who is winning right now is a landslide in favor of the quarterback. It could change. It might go the other way. But as of right now, Brady is kicking Belichick's ass.
To the victor goes the spoils.
No,
period, story over.
I just disagree because I think the Patriots largely would have been in the same spot this year. A couple games better. They would have been closer to 8-8, and I think they would have been. I think they were 8-18, depending on what kind of offensive, what kind of quarterback output they got this year. And I don't think Brady would have made a huge difference, because and I have evidence of that, because they were 4-5 and 2-4 down the stretch last year.
Well, I mean, to me, a big part of it is, did he want to be here? Would he want to be here? Where's his head at? Because I don't think he was in a great headspace here the last year plus, probably even going back to the Super Bowl year, if you really wanted to be honest about it. And I think that you got a little bit of a diminishing return out of Brady. I think I put a lot of stock into that. So either way, the big boy's all ornery. You know, I just have this silly thing of, you know, if the roles were reversed, if Brady was out of the playoffs or one and done and the Pats were still going, believe me, we'd be talking about system and coaching and organization. We'd be doing it.
No, and I would say the same thing about Brady. I would have said,
because you're a football contrarian,
first year
big
someplace
boy.
And it's his first year in one place. Can't ask a ton of them. It'd be all right.
Greg, we have to break. But you would do that because you're a football contrarian. I have a silly thing where I do have to pay attention to the scoreboard.
Facts.
Shut up for one second. Let us hear from our sponsors, and then you can come back and flap your gums some more. What, Maz?
You're a contrarian.
No. go to break.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap. Where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30, New Orleans Saints 20. Tom Brady's the man. The Bucs are the team. And we have defeated the New Orleans Saints, our nemesis, over the last 3 or 4 years. A week from today, Tampa Bay at Green Bay. Bucs win! Bucs win! Bucs win!
There is one man in sports I do not bet against when the money is pushed to the middle of the table, and it's Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
This looks like a completely different offense. Quite honestly, it looks like Tom Brady offense. Tom Brady's all about winning, period, and he got it done.
Seeing Tom Brady still just ticking along, not making any huge mistakes, in his 14th conference championship game, it's half maddening and half marvelous. It's remarkable.
Talent matters. Coaches have limitations. Greg Popovich, Bill Belichick, Duncan got old, Brady left. It's funny, they're not relevant anymore.
You know that Bill is on the losing side, oh yes, because this is Brady gravy. You know that Bill is on the losing side, oh yes, because this is Brady.
Someone who is not willing to douse themselves in Brady gravy is the big boy, Greg Bedard. He doesn't play those games. He's above it. I get it.
Bits like that aren't allowed at the Bedard School of Responsible Broadcast.
Forget about it. No fun. I tell you, but if the situation were reversed, just this is always it's just a little thing. I do it all the time. It's just a little exercise. It helps you set you straight a little bit. If the situation were reversed, what would we be saying?
Oh, we'd be dumping all over Brady and saying Bill's the greatest.
How about the program? It's about the program. It's about coaching, ownership, their methods. They'd be celebrated, and they'd be right to be.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I'd be saying about Brady. It serves you right for picking Tampa Bay.
And that's where I thought we were going to be.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Again, I couldn't believe he'd pick the Bucs. I said this way back in the free agent process. Like, Tampa Bay, you're going to pick Tampa Bay?
I thought this was going to prove the strength of their organization from top to bottom, and I was wrong. And so at least I can admit it. I could sit there and parse through it, Craig, and then go, well, what about this and what about that, and give you the nuances of it. But the bottom line is I thought they'd be much better than they were. And every day that Brady's alive and every game that he wins, it just drives it home. And that's just the way it is. So, I mean, I don't know. That's how I look at it. Let's see if anyone out there can talk some sense into Greg. How about your buddy Guy in Boston? Hi, Guy.
Good luck.
Yes, oh, this is for Mr. Greg Bedard. I want to know one thing. If you keep ragging on Brady, why don't you start ragging on Belichick? Who cost the Patriots the Super Bowl with Philadelphia? Was it Brady or Belichick? Thank you.
Now we're going to go back to Malcolm Butler.
Oh, no, we're taking a trip down memory lane today.
John in Brookline. Jeez. For the big boy. John, go ahead.
Oh, man. Bedard, it's too bad that we got you on the Zoom feed here and the boys in the studio can't get a good whiff of you, because I got a suspicion that there's a giant filled diaper over there. Man, it's dripping down your leg, dude. You can say, nobody's saying Belichick isn't the best of all time. And maybe 10 years from now, if he finds the next guy and they keep going back, you'll look back and say, you know what? It was worth letting him go early, a year too early, like you always say, and going to find the next thing. But holy crap, is your diaper full.
Let me tell you, Greg, a thing that you should give Brady credit for, that I don't even know if Rodgers probably couldn't have done this. I'll tell you why. Because I don't think Rodgers would have grounded out. I don't think, you know, they were bound to have some fits and starts early, right? New player, new system, no offseason, all of that. And we saw that with Brady. And he hung in there, right? And it looked sort of squirrely there at times. He and the coach felt like they were going back and forth a little bit. It didn't look right, didn't feel right. And here he is. If that had happened to Rodgers, he would have shut it down or been a baby, or he couldn't have handled it. He would not have. They would not have been here with Aaron Rodgers, even if Aaron Rodgers is playing better right now. He would not have had the mindset.
In my opinion, that's tough to say, because look, you're right. Brady having the thought of Belichick in the back of his mind, like Brady had no choice. Like what would be the circumstances with Aaron Rodgers? Would have been Mike McCarthy, let him go, whatever. Brady had the thought of Belichick. Like Brady knew when he walked out the door and he burned all the ships, he had to make it work. It was on him. And so he had no choice. So I don't know if you can really say that about Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Rodgers would be in the same situation and he'd have motivation like that. I don't know.
I'm just saying, I think Brady deserves credit for, you know, grinding it out. And I don't know if everyone would.
Let's not forget they were 7-5. They were 7-5.
And it wasn't, you know, there was a time there. It really wasn't working.
No, it wasn't. And again, I know they played garbage in the last four games. But the fact is that the New Orleans game is the one that put me over the top. I'm sorry. I felt that way before the playoffs. I feel that way coming out of that game now. I didn't give him much of a chance. Go ahead.
So what exactly did Brady do in this game that blew your mind?
He didn't blow it, and the team elevated its play. He didn't blow it, Greg. He didn't make any mistakes.
I'm not saying he blew it.
It was a hard game to play quarterback. Both defenses were really good, and I do buy into some of the intangibles with Brady. I do. I think that, and I felt this way about the Patriots for a long time. I think that teams with Brady at quarterback look over there and go, we just got to hang in there because this guy can do it. He can do it. And now the Bucs think that way, and they're in the NFC Championship game.
I mean, I don't know how anybody else ever made conference championship games without Tom Brady. I mean,
well, you're right. He's been to 14 of them.
14. 14 freaking times. Joe and Revere, what do you got for Greg Bedard?
The only way to fix Greg Belichick, and Murray, grab your tube sock. You might get a little excited here, is as soon as the Super Bowl's done and Brady's the champion, it cuts the commercial. And then the commercial, A.B., Gronk and Tom Brady are at a TB12 center working out. And here walks in, you know, Bill Belichick, the nutcase that he calls Alex Guerrero. Alex Guerrero walks in and says, guys, did Bill stop by? And all three of them turn around and say, Bill who? The guys are...
Joe. You got that, Jimmy? Does Brady need to win it all to prove his point?
No.
Greg, does Brady need to win it all to prove his point?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I mean, a lot of it depends on circumstances. Mass, if this last game, if it was, say, it was some sort of shootout with the Saints and the Bucs defense wasn't doing anything and Tom Brady threw for, you know, say it was the Kansas City game a couple years ago or something like that, then I could probably see myself being on your side and being like, gee, that's just That's just Brady being Brady. But how can you say that after this game when all three of their touchdowns came off of turnovers and their drives were scoring drives were 3 yards, 20 yards, and 40 yards? Like, I'm sorry. I just can't do it off of a game like that. Now, if he goes out there to Green Bay and gets into a shootout with Aaron Rodgers and Brady wins it in the end, absolutely. Yeah, you can mark tape. I will give it to him.
I mean, not to answer for Maz, but I just don't look at it in a vacuum.
I was just going to say that.
I mean, there's a 20-year pattern. 20 years of him winning games like this at this time of year in every different kind of fashion. Good weather, bad, indoor, outdoor, high scoring, low scoring. Games he got lucky, games he got unlucky. He wins. So after 20 years of it, at some point I'm going to like give him some credit for it. There's some commonality there.
And I don't know how Bruce Arians got to a conference championship game with Carson Palmer. I mean, without Brady. I mean, jeez.
I'll tell you how. He won a coin flip. That's how he won it. That game that he won, the one playoff game that he won there with Carson Palmer, they won the coin flip in overtime, the first play of overtime. They flared it out to Larry Fitzgerald and ran down to the 2-yard line.
How did Bruce Arians ever win games without Tom Brady? I just don't know.
That team had 2 1,000-yard receivers, including one of the greatest to ever play it, in Larry Fitzgerald, who you just mentioned. And Chris Johnson's a better running back than anyone on the Buccaneers. If Brady's the quarterback of that Cardinals team, they win 3 Super Bowls in 5 years.
Oh, my God. That team underachieved. You're the one who brought it up. Now we have to go back and look at it. That team underachieved. That team. Murray, that team was a freaking wagon.
Yep. Yeah, and you brought him up. You drew first blood there.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, my God. You need a lot of body bags there, Murray.
You know, if the Bucs had Tom Brady, you know, the last 20 years, who knows? You know, they would have been just the greatest ever. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
You're in trouble now, Greg.
They're a wagon.
Murray's quoting Rambo. Murray's quoting Rambo, Greg. You're in big trouble.
We're shipping off to Green Bay without Bedard.
Yeah.
three up, three down from the divisional weekend with the big fella. Seems kind of dug in today, which is good. Here's an update from Murray first.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, it's time for 3 up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And 3 down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on 3rd and 4. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3 up.
And the Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl title.
3 down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, let's do this divisional round weekend edition. 3 favorite players from the weekend, 3 least favorite players from the weekend. Greg, who's your number one star?
Deion Dawkins, the Bills' left tackle. With the game plan that Brian Daboll put out there, which was terrible, by the way, he had to be on point or else the game could have been wrecked, and he was great in that game.
I thought you were going to pick someone from the Packers' O-line. I thought they were terrific in that game. I went Devin White, linebacker, Tampa Bay. That guy was all over the field.
45.
Yeah, all over the field. He was a force.
Daboll was like your new Binky.
that's a little bit of a Bedard and I on the Zoom that we did last week.
There'll be more of those coming later.
Jimmy's got some stuff for you, Greg. He was doing that in response to your offensive tackle number one star. It's like, of course, you picked an offensive tackle. Either way, who's your number two star? What guard are we going to pick for number two?
Devin White. I thought Maz was spot on. And, you know, if Devin White didn't have Tom Brady as a teammate, I don't know how he would have played that well this weekend.
Good job, Greg. Good job. I can't name any one guy in particular. The Packers offensive line, they were terrific. I mean, really, they were outstanding. How many yards they run for in that game?
I don't have
180
me,
or something? Yeah. I mean, it was insane how well they did.
They have a good line. Who's number three, Greg?
Rodgers. I just thought he was in complete control. He's in the zone. The Rams, who normally have a good defense, and sure, the Aaron Donald injury certainly played into this, but he just basically toyed with them and picked them apart. You know, whether he can do that against the Bucks remains to be seen. But I thought Rodgers was tremendous this weekend.
I went with Tyreek Hill. I thought he was really good in that game. And again, fourth down, season on the line. Who does Andy Reid go to? It's an easy catch, but still lots of people screw it up. He had 8 catches in the game. I thought he was good the whole game.
Okay, 3 least favorite players from the weekend. Greg, who's number one?
Jared Cook/Drew Brees. Jared Cook for... carrying the ball out there like he did, and like, did he think that Devin White was just going to stop and not try to tackle him and try to strip him? I mean, that was just an awful fumble that completely changed the game. The Saints should have scored there, at least a field goal, gone up a couple scores, and won the game. Instead, he fumbled, it completely changed it. And Drew Brees, he was just god awful in this game. And if he had any pride, he would have went to Sean Payton when they were down 2 scores and say, put Jameis in because I can't throw the ball down the field.
Brees. It was Brees. He was the biggest loser on the weekend. I mean, he looked done, and he is done by all accounts.
Number two, Greg?
Greg Roman for not changing his game plan to what the Bills adapted to. So the Ravens come out, and they run the ball down the field. Leslie Frazier changes, and he starts stacking the line, run blitzing, pass blitzing. And Greg Roman just had no counter to that. How – they didn't just go shotgun and spread out the Bills so they could identify where the blitzes were coming from, run the ball inside. I don't know how, but it was an awful game plan by Greg Roman. He never adjusted, and it was terrible offense by the Ravens.
Lamar Jackson. I mean, to me, this weekend, big delineation in quarterbacks. Huge. Look at the 4 that are playing. Rodgers, Mahomes, and Josh Allen, who's had a fabulous year. And I'm not telling you Allen played well in the game over the weekend because he didn't. But those, to me, are 4 of the 5 best quarterbacks in the league.
Number 3, dud, Greg.
Joe Woods, the Browns defensive coordinator, for allowing Chad Henne to run for 14 yards on 3rd and long or whatever it was. I mean, in that circumstance, that cannot happen. And better coaching negates that gain, and the Browns probably get the ball back, and they have a chance to win the game.
I went Nick Chubb. I thought he had kind of a dog game. There were a couple of big runs in the second half that he had, but he was dropping balls in the first half. I thought he was going to be the key guy in that game for them, and he wasn't.
Okay, Greg, your number one star was the left tackle in Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the tackle. How'd you feel about the rest of the team?
Hello?
Hello, are you there? Is this working?
Bills?
Yeah, how do you feel about the Buffalo Bills?
How do I feel about the Bills?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think they played well. I thought the Ravens just played terrible. You know, they got the pick 6. It was somewhat similar to what Brady did. They got the turnover. I mean, look, the Ravens played terrible. That's all.
Can I give you a quote from Devin White, who... You said
here we go. I heard this. Post game, it's Devin White. Yeah, everybody
you said Brady
has their own narrative.
So here's a quote from the linebacker himself.
Hold on, just so people now, we just totally change gears, which is fine, but tell people who Devin White is.
Again, that's one of the linebackers on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who was one of the top players, one of the top 3 that both Maz and Bedard
had. He's the rookie linebacker who had that last interception in number 45. Okay, now I was just about to get on him about the Bills, but you can go back to this. Go ahead.
Well, because Greg snarkily said, well, like, how does Brady influence the linebacker? Here's a quote from the actual linebacker himself after the game. The thing I love about Tom is he's always teaching, White told NBC Sports Peter King. Teaching me how to be a great leader every single day, every single practice. He puts the team before himself. First few days he's in the locker room, we're all like, well, we're in the locker room with the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, I want to talk to him. I want to get a picture with him. But then he's your teammate. You're here for a reason. Huh. No influence whatsoever. None. Yeah.
No, actually, there's a better quote. I thought you were going to bring out some better. There was a better quote that Devin White had about how I think it was him that was disappointed in not making the Pro Bowl. And Tom said something along the lines of, that's not the bowl we're working towards.
We have a different bowl to worry about.
Yeah. So, I mean, Devin White obviously flipped the switch there and caused that fumble and made all those plays because that comment from Tom Brady.
I don't know. I read that. According to White himself, he's become a better defensive player by being on the same team as the greatest offensive player in history. That's just the way I take it. That's just me.
No, I'm with Murray. Brady forced the fumble. What are you talking about, Greg?
Oh, yeah. And meanwhile, the Bills are in the AFC title game, and Bedard's still ragging on him. It's just at some point there's a scoreboard, Greg. Some point you have to give a team credit for being at this level. This is pretty much
the
level.
Did you think the Bills played well this weekend? Did you think the Bills offense played well?
Not particularly, but I give them full marks for being in this game. They are good and okay. They deserve credit.
I don't think I've ever said anything about the Bills as a team as a whole.
No, your tone is really crappy, really crappy.
Oh, now it's my tone.
Yep. You're being a football contrarian.
No, he's not.
Long commercial recycle is next.
Brian Daboll was like your new Binky.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
One more kneel down. Josh kneels it down. And now that'll do it. They can head to the locker room. The Ravens head first. Bills players head out on the field to shake hands. And the crowd is in celebration mode. They're dancing and singing and jumping around here in Orchard Park. 20 seconds left in the game. Wow. Zeros on the clock. 17 points for the Bills, 3 for the Baltimore Ravens, and the Buffalo Bills advance to the AFC Championship game next Sunday.
All right, before we get back to Bedard's pig-headed stubbornness on the Patriots and Tom Brady, let's just address quickly his pig-headed stubbornness on the Buffalo Bills, and I have some advice for the Bills on what to do this week. And I'll tell you that in 1 second. But first, Greg, are you going to come around on the Bills yet? Are you going to admit that you undersold the Bills? I won't even say wrong because I really don't want to get your back up, but you may have undersold what they were as a football team?
Yeah, as soon as you can point out when I undersold them. I mean, look, they've had a good year. And there's no question about that. And it coincided with the Patriots having a down year. And they've played well. They're a good, solid football team.
You were never in on the Bills and Josh Allen. Never.
Now, Josh Allen is, you know, it's a separate topic.
It's kind of the same topic. It's kind of the same. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, you were never a believer in Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, and now they're in the AFC title game. Your commentary, please.
I think the Bills have played, they played good football this year, and they did a good job. Their defense did a really nice job in tough conditions this weekend, and we'll see what happens against Kansas City.
Are they, Josh Allen and the Bills, better than you thought they were?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, there we go.
So, Greg, is your thing...
Usually that crowbar is reserved for Maz in the NBA, but we got it. Go ahead. Go.
So, look, Greg, I get the sense that ultimately you just don't like the extremism in either way, and before you say Buffalo, the Bills and Allen are great, you need to see them repeat it.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, there's no question that the Bills... I thought that the Patriots would win the AFC East, and I think I had the Bills second. I'm not sure if I had them in the playoffs, but I thought the Patriots were going to get better quarterback play than they did. But the Bills have been good this year. Stephon Diggs has had a much better, bigger impact than I thought he was going to. And sure, Josh Allen has played very well this season. But as far as anything beyond that about him being an elite quarterback or anything like that, I need to see it happen again.
Okay. And he's got a long time to do it. This is a pretty good start for him, I would say. But he's got a long career ahead of him to show you. And I don't need championships to prove the point. If you start winning playoff games, you've kind of proven the point. You don't have to go all the way and win it all, for me. You know, and I sort of, you know. And so this leads to my advice for the Buffalo Bills. Here's my advice for you guys this week. Lose. 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 Much better for your arc, much better for your build. It is much better than making the Super Bowl.
And losing there?
Falling on your face in the Super Bowl. And the next thing you know, guys like Bedard or Murray, who just judge it on the last 15 minutes of the last game, go, see?
See? They can't play. I told you he sucked.
I never said that about Allen. Well, I did prior to this season. But he doesn't remind me of Goff or Garoppolo. I'm not going to do that with him.
It's what people do. It's what people do. Okay? You get to and it is... You get to that game and lose that game. We've talked about it all the time.
Look at the Niners.
You're so much better off losing the week before in most cases. Some guys, it wouldn't matter. But in a lot of cases, when you're that ascending team and you've popped, you're better off losing before you get there.
Can I offer you a different alternative for Buffalo?
Because if Buffalo gets there and loses, you know, they are a candidate to be the next Falcons, Niner, you know, that coach that pops, that quarterback that pops, and they suffer that massive, you know, crushing loss, and they can't handle it, and they have the hangover, and they're never the same, and we've just seen it over and over and over again. The Bills, much better off for you and your arc and your story and your the whole line of your progression to lose this. No one's going to blame you for losing this week in Kansas City. No one's going to blame you. And no one's going to say that you choked or underachieved. You've had a nice year, and you've left room for growth. You've left room for your story. And you're much better off. They're obviously not going to purposely lose this game, but trust me, they're much better off losing this week.
What if they win it? And I don't mean the game. I mean it.
Well, yeah. If you're going to win this week, you better win it all.
So do you think they can win it all?
I don't know. I don't think so. No.
See, I do.
I don't.
I do.
I don't think they're ready.
I think they got a shot. I think that because of the offense, because look, all the teams that are left can score. They can all score. And so if Buffalo can put points up, So that means to me they can beat any one of these teams. They're in it.
My complaint about Buffalo at this point, offensively, I think they're starting. And Felger, I think, made this point yesterday about how they become very Allen centric, and I think that's a problem, and it could bite them this weekend, where they're forgetting how they got there, which is Josh Allen had the most play action snaps in the league. They've completely forgotten about the running game. They can run the ball a little bit, and Allen and the offense actually needs that. If they just keep going one dimensional, it could have bit them against the Ravens if the Ravens could have done anything offensively. It didn't. But if they continue to be, they're not going to win a Super Bowl being one dimensional on offense. They're just not.
I mean, I don't think they're ready to go, you know, beat Mahomes and then beat Rodgers or Brady. Both those teams have been, you know, in some respects, you know, Brady's been there, obviously. Rodgers has been there. Mahomes is, you know, I just don't think Buffalo's ready. I think Buffalo's the candidate to be that team, to get to the big game, fall on their face, and then just have the balloon pop. We've seen it over and over and over again. We've talked about it so much about a lot of times you're better off not having gotten there.
My argument for them possibly being you know, a Super Bowl being in the mix for them is that, you know, you just look over the course of the season, and this has been a charm season for the Bills. A lot of things have gone their way. They've stayed really healthy. Allen's had the two fumbles in the back-to-back games that could have cost either game. The Bills recovered both of them. Now Mahomes, with his injury, you're not going to get a better shot at the Chiefs probably than this weekend. So, the argument is there that they're just, this is their year, and everything is just snapping into place for them.
I think they're good enough to win it all. I mean, I do. I think they have the talent to win it all. I just don't think it's their time. And I just know what's coming. I've seen it too often. You know, Garoppolo would have been much better off stopping right at the NFC Championship game and never have gotten to the fourth quarter of that final game. Now everyone thinks he's a choker and he sucks. If he had just stopped at the divisional, at the championship game, it's like, man, nice little story, building a nice little career. He's on his way up, still got room to grow. And we talk about it all the time. You know, better off if the Falcons that year with Dan Quinn had just gotten to the NFC title game and not gotten to the Super Bowl and not suffered that defeat, he might still be there and they still might be a decent team. But the thing just blew up on him. The Bills are a candidate to be that team. Lose next week. Lose next week and lose and leave room for growth.
I think you're underselling them. They've won 8 in a row. Before that, they won 11 out of 12. You know what their only loss is?
Yes, Hail Mary.
I mean, it's to me, they've been the best team in football, I think, for the last 3 months or pretty close to it. And so I'm not telling you they played great against the Ravens. Or for that matter, I'm not sure they played great against Indianapolis either.
Well, if it wasn't them, then the hottest team in football was the Ravens, who they just beat.
No, it's them. It's them. I mean, you're agreeing with me, Murray.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I just think they're legit. They can win it. They can win the whole thing.
All right, so I promise, right to your phones after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.